and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome back to New Retirement Radio on WTCM News Talk 580. As we welcome the gang from Prout Financial Design, starting with Certified Financial Planner, Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
It's great to be here. Thank you, Ron. On Thursday, 9/16, September 16th, 2021.
2020.
Great to be here. Thank you. And we have a riotous group with us. So many distractions, so little time. Everyone's doing their impressions here this morning. We have Heidi Thompson impersonating Heidi Thompson. Good morning.
Good morning.
You do it so well, Heidi.
Oh, thank you.
She does, doesn't she? She's
doing great. I think I'm really pulling this one
sounds just
off.
Like Heidi. our own retirement income certified professional and also the managing executive at Prout Financial Design. And then we also have Shay Pataja, CXO. Welcome, Shay.
Hello.
Doing her Dana Carvey impersonation earlier.
I don't know if the listeners remember
Carvey
this. But do you remember when he impersonates? I can't remember what news anchor he's impersonating. And he says, Gerald Ford died today.
Tom Brokaw.
He was eaten by a pack of wolves.
Yeah.
And then
Tom Brokaw, that
yes.
is.
Yeah.
little marble mouth there, yeah.
Yeah, it comes back to me every once in a while. But mm-hmm. I make SNL jokes now to younger people, and they look at me with a blank face.
They just stare at me.
They have no idea the context. They don't know Chopping Broccoli. That's a beautiful song.
Chopping Broccoli.
Top of the Billboard charts. They don't remember the Blendomatic.
Well, that was, you know, the people have fond memories of all these old characters, but you don't hear anybody. Did you see last week and talk about what happened last week? It's a different.
No, they send
different
memes
caliber,
now, which I'm guilty of sending.
We're watching
of
YouTube
too.
Or Netflix or whatever.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, thank you for listening. We are talking more about inflation, but also IRA trustees. Now, there's actual a real story here about an IRA trustee gone bad. So we'll talk about that. But before that, inflation. I wanted to visit this. We visited this rather briefly last week. But I think it's worth it discussing it this week. And what's going on out there? You know, you go to Meijer and they have no bananas. Yes, we have no bananas. They're like cleared out.
My wife said the other day, twice in the last 2 weeks, and each time she's come home and said, you would not believe the number of items that are missing.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, there's empty shelves.
Random emptiness of shelves.
Supply chains. Is that what this comes down to? For example, I currently cannot get one of my medications because it's made partly in China. I get it compounded, and they can't get it.
China.
But I'm talking to more people who are like, yeah, I'm having the same issue. Mm.
So number three in my list, which I'm going to hit as number one, are supply chains and inflation. The supply chain problem looks like it will last well into next year, the Baltic Dry Index. No, never mind. Is it money supply or parts shortages? Is widespread price inflation the result of supply chain problems, changes in consumer behavior, or broad money supply growth? And this is written by a Lynn Alden, whom our economist Rob mentions as being respected highly. Monetary authorities in most countries say supply chain issues are the sole cause of inflation. Back in the 1970s, anyone remember? Heidi? Ron? Yes? Shay? No, not so much. Back in the 70s, the monetary authorities said it was transitory, and they were wrong. Wrong.
Shocking.
Every major inflationary period is associated with shortages. Shortages.
How does that lead to inflation?
I can actually pronounce it. Say
how again. Does that lead to inflation where you have...
Price inflation occurs when the money supply goes up more quickly than the supply of products and services, just in case you were wondering, Ron.
So
see, the answer is right there.
It's twofold then. A shortage of supplies and an oversupply of money.
It is.
Okay.
Causing the shortage because too many people are trying to buy too few items mm-hmm. that are normally... You know, in limited supply anyway.
I see.
And that's somewhat controlled by the fact that people don't want to spend money on it. So you have decision making.
More people have more money now to go buy more bananas.
More money.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Darling, this buy a dozen bananas instead of six. That sort of thing, you know.
You can't even buy a lot of bananas because even if I buy three bananas, two of them inevitably go bad.
They go bad.
You know.
Yeah, well, you need to start buying more green bananas, shall most people would say. That's all that
together,
shall
we? It's just not where I like them.
No, they're not fun. The 2020s have major supply chain shortages pushing up prices. Like the 1940s and 1970s, it is happening at a time when governments are running large monetized deficits. It means that they're financing all of their debt through by putting more money into the economy, thus increasing their money supplies faster than normal. Interest rates are once again below prevailing inflation rates. How much inflation we have going forward will depend on the growth of the money supply and how quickly we're able to address our supply chain problems. Large fiscal stimulus in the United States, monetized by the Federal Reserve, boosted demand for goods and services in the U.S., but can't fix supply shortages. So if you do see bananas, Shay, you just have to buy one or two more. Maybe put them in the fridge
or
whatever. There
yeah,
you go.
I can make banana bread later.
Yes, something like that. It's just kind of, it's interesting to note this. Jill was commenting about the same thing a couple, 3 weeks ago. Gosh, well, what's going on? You know, you see these whole shelving areas empty. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening. You came to us for answers and we had them.
So
sometimes
you're saying that because the government has flooded the market with dollars,
yes,
and more people have more dollars, therefore more people can go buy more bananas,
yes,
and therefore we have they can't keep up, they can't grow and process bananas quick enough.
Now some of that is going to be endemic or an issue with the supply. They had a banana shortage, you know, some of the trees died from the hurricane or whatever.
Yeah,
but most of it is due to oversupply of money. Money.
Also, we did have a lot of interruptions. So you had COVID. You had the freight that jammed up, and caused all these delays. I don't know how many weeks that was happening. And then you had the freeze in Texas, which I know I was looking for an item to remodel the bathroom. Oh, well, we can't get that for you for 3 months because when the freeze happened in Texas, all their pipes froze as well, and the factory had to completely shut down and rebuild. And so you're thinking natural disasters on top of human error and a virus, it's a little bit much.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, there are three long-term factors that Rob is saying is going to make this inflation non-transitory or more permanent in time frame. Number one is wages. Two are rents, housing rents, rents for living. And energy prices. Now, what's interesting is the worker availability ratio is steadily declining. It means that the ratio, using government data, dividing job openings by unemployed workers gets you the worker availability ratio shown below. Now, in this graph, which Ron, you're going to love,
Oh, it's pretty.
Isn't it nice?
I see
nice red colors.
It's a steady hill down, and all of a sudden, a huge spike at the end.
Spike in 20. And now that spike is again coming down to the previous. Everybody's wondering where the workers are. Well, in about 2012, there were 4 available workers for every job opening in America. Today, it's not even 2. Most people would say that's a 50% decline.
Most people would.
Yes.
Yeah.
Given that reality, it just shows this, a higher ratio is better for employers as there are more applicants and thus more choices of whom to hire.
Mm-hmm.
This worker availability ratio has been falling since the last recession when unemployment was at its peak. They're saying what's causing this is more baby boomers hitting 65.
I have a Shay stat for that right now.
Hit it.
So the Shea stat for that is that 3.2 million Americans retired in 2020, a 56% increase over the average of 2 million Americans who retired over the previous 8 years.
Wow.
Amazing.
So you also have the birth rates off, too. You have far fewer younger people coming in to replace those jobs. Correct?
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then what does that do to Social Security?
So these young people these days need to have more children.
Well, you know, this article, Dennis, it also pointed out that prior to COVID, more older Americans or people over 65 were staying in the labor force. But that trend has changed over the pandemic. So that is a contributing factor as well.
I mean, that's a huge drop off, that stat.
It's incredible. Mm-hmm. So it's no wonder that employers are having that much more difficulty when they drop to that degree. It's really tough in some cases to find the right employees. Number two, non-transitory trends also continue in the rental markets. Asking rents for houses rose nearly 13% for the year to date through July. Now that is about a 2% per month increase. Annualizing that, we can just say it's 24 for a year. That's a huge, 25% increase in rents. If you were paying $1,000 a year ago, if things continue toward the end of this year, you'd be paying about $1,250 or so.
Wow.
Per month.
That's a huge jump for a lot
it is.
Of people.
Yeah. Why is that, you say? Why?
Why?
Inquiring minds want to know. Because house prices have come up this much that rentals necessarily, almost naturally, have to follow suit.
And we've definitely seen that around here. I mean,
And demand is up, too.
And that is the highest, correct, annual increase in the past 5 years as tracked by real estate data company Yardi Matrix. Now, I'm going to give you a test on this, okay? So pay attention. This is via the quiz at the end of the show. Apartment asking rents have risen at a lower pace, 8.3% for the year to date through July. But it just shows these tend to be lagging indexes. That's frankly why they're included in the CPI. They will come on, and we will have higher inflation as measured by the CPI, as a result of these rising rents.
And I don't think it's just Traverse City. I mean, people are moving to whatever city they want to be in. And you're hearing my brother lives in Nashville, and I mean, the increase of costs there and people moving there. Grand Rapids, my friends in Grand Rapids are telling me how expensive it's getting. And Grand Rapids used to be the more moderate place to be, thanks to all the Dutch people. Thank you.
And you mentioned Traverse City specifically. I had a very interesting conversation yesterday with someone who's, I had asked him to use his name, so I won't, but he's a very active participant in business here in Traverse City. And he said he used to get one call per month, maybe, of business owners who were interested in moving up here. Most recently, on the average, 5 a week. He said it's absolutely incredible. And he has his ear to the ground as much as anybody I know.
Wow.
The number of business people who want to move to Traverse City.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully they bring with them their own employees.
Yes, bring them with you. Well, they may not have that much trouble given what a gorgeous, perfect area we live in. Because they can listen to TCM and all the rest. Really, what is there else? Of course, right, yeah. So rent inflation is about to surge and it won't stop. Two Federal Reserve economists warn of an acceleration in rent inflation over the years to come. So they're saying with home prices continuing to reach new heights, rents are also set to explode. Now, these aren't people regularly given to hyperbole. House price growth expressed as a 12-month growth rate has historically led rent inflation. The high correlations between current house price growth and future inflation of rent and OER suggest that house price growth is useful for forecasting the inflation rates of rentals. And we go on more detail, perhaps, and we want to know, just to know that the three major components that I think are going to cause inflation too are really there, and they look more than non-transitory.
So what does that, I mean, what do you do with that? I get overwhelmed. I hear that, I get overwhelmed, and then I immediately think, like, okay, so what's in my control? Like, what can I do about this? Because it's so much bigger than me.
Yeah.
Rent out a bedroom.
You might want to put an extra bedroom on top of the garage, okay. You know, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Because your house prices increase to that degree. And I get people not always talking, but mentioning on a continuing basis, they can't believe what their house is worth now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ethel, do you have any idea what our house is worth? You know, that sort of thing.
There's one other trend I read about. I don't know if it's measurable, but they say a lot of young people, 20s and 30s, don't want to be tied down by owning a house. They may want to work somewhere for a couple of years and then move. And then some corporations or some businesses are buying up houses as an investment.
They are. Yeah. They are. With billions of dollars to invest. Because they saw that, think about it. Obviously, these house prices have gone up. If they're able to buy them even moderately, they're going to be surprised at how much more they can charge in rent. And you hear this continually of those who are doing the Vrbo thing, the VRBO. They're able to charge more for cleaning, able to charge more for rents. It's applying across the board, especially in good old TC. So we like this.
Do we want to do some Shea stats at all?
Yeah, why don't you do some Shea stats?
I'm just guessing.
Dennis hit the rabbit trail again.
Okay. Congress will debate three major tax hikes designed to offset the cost of the proposed $3.5 trillion social infrastructure bill. The first is a corporate income tax increase to raise $1 trillion over the next 10 years. Second, a corporate tax on overseas income to raise $550 billion. And three, a higher capital gains tax to raise $322 billion. And that's from CNBC. Seems like a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
None of that will be passed on to consumers, right?
I wish I could have the answer for
you. Yeah, you mean none of the price increases
that they're experiencing? The added cost of paying higher taxes.
Right. Yeah, I hadn't heard that.
It never is.
It never is.
Exactly.
The projected 75-year shortfall in the Social Security Trust Fund has tripled in the last 10 years.
Could you say that in your Dana Carvey?
The projected 75-year shortfall.
Thank you.
I tried. It's been a while. I could do Linda Richman real easy, though, if you want me to go that route.
Well, that's obviously a problem. That's a lot. That's a significant change.
Mm-hmm. The 2011 trustees report forecasted a $6.5 trillion present value shortfall between payroll taxes anticipated to be collected and projected benefits to be paid out over the next 75 years. The 2021 report released on August 31st of 2021 now projects the present value shortfall to be $19.8 trillion, and that's from the 2021 trustee report.
It's a little bit higher.
It's a lot of money. It just says that it's going to run out more quickly than anticipated, which we've seen in the past. I think it was 2034, 2035, about 14 years or so before they're not going to be able to pay for the benefits of all those collecting out of payroll tax, and number one. And number two, then the lump sum, if you will, that they have to draw from, which is the Social Security Trust Fund. Now, as an alternate piece of it, information related to that, it's always been thought that the government will simply make up that difference themselves. Mm-hmm. It's just to say that they're going to have to do that unless there are things that are changed within the system to generate more revenue within Social Security trust fund.
You could say it might be a good idea to take a look at this sooner rather than later so that it's not such a dramatic fix that is needed.
There's a storm on the horizon. Let's deal with it, shall we? Mm-hmm. Here you go. Go ahead, Shay.
Not to get more sad over here.
You're so cheery today.
We're going to need to have a happy hour right after this. Oh, gosh. Per the August 31st, 2021 report, the trust fund reporting Medicare Part A hospital insurance is projected to be depleted by 2026. 2026. That is 2026.
That's almost like five years.
Yeah, yeah.
The long-term 75-year present value shortfall in the trust fund could be corrected by an immediate 0.77 percentage point increase in combined Medicare payroll taxes from its current 2.9% to 3.67%, or an immediate 16% reduction in Medicare expenditures. And that's, of course, from the Medicare Trustees 2020 report.
Okay.
Oh, we need that Debbie Downer button.
That might be another thing take a look at.
We're still on presidents. Oh. Gerald Ford.
Gerald Ford. Well, he's in good shape.
All right, we'll play that later. That's your guy you're trying to imitate, great. Dana Carvey.
Yes, it's so good. You're
the real thing. That's too good.
Oh, thank you. I needed to laugh. At the end of 2020, Medicare was covering 62.6 million Americans, or 19% of our population. The program was cash negative in 2020, taking in $900 billion of income, including $5 billion of interest income, while paying out $926 billion in benefits. And that's for Medicare.
Oh, that is some kind of health coverage. Radical.
I got one last one here. This one I find the most interesting, okay? 1.51 million Americans became infected with COVID-19 in August of 2020. This August in 2021, 4.35 million Americans became infected with COVID-19. And that's from NBC News. And I'm just kind of shocked because when I go out, there's no place to sit in restaurants. They're packed full. I'm just confused by the disconnect. But Dennis, you had a great analogy for this as to why we are all getting pandemic.
Does anybody know what time it is? Does anybody really care? Now, what actually I was saying was it's like the snowstorm thing. The beginning of the year, everybody freaks out if we're going to get 5 inches. Well, in February, March, it's like, ho-hum, 5 inches, that's not a big deal.
There's a blizzard, and kids are standing out at
They're enjoying it. They're making snowmen or whatever, right?
Good analogy.
Generally.
It is.
Anyway,
that's it for Shea Stats today, and we can meet for happy hour at 11
o'clock. That's a news, don't bore me with the facts. Most people would say it's about three times the number. It is radical. So
some weird, wacky, wild stuff.
Yes, indeed. So we do have that. Do we have the Dana Carvey impersonation there, Ron? Can you?
Okay. All right. Gerald Ford dead today at the age of 83.
Okay, good. And one for next year.
All right. Gerald Ford dead today at age 84.
A little sadder.
All right. Gerald Ford dead today at age 84.
That was good. Dana Carvey as Tom Brokaw.
It just gets worse as he goes on. The scenarios get darker and darker. They just don't make SNL like they used to.
No, they do not.
You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
And I'm the other financial advisor, Heidi Thompson.
And I'm Shea Pataja. I put the fun in financial.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome back to New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design on WTCM News Talk 580. Dennis Prout, Heidi Thompson, and Shea Pataja are live in the house. Welcome back, all.
Thank you, Ron. It's great to be here with you. I think we're having almost too much fun in the studio here today. It's
Heidi, bring
crazy.
Us back. Bring us back, Heidi.
Well, yeah, but do we have a phone call here, though?
Yes,
first?
We do.
Let's hit that phone call, and then we'll hit the Heidi info.
We're going to go to Cedar, Michigan. Mike is on the air. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question for Dennis.
All right.
Where's this? Where are the funds in this trust fund?
Where are they? They're in the lockbox.
They're in the lockbox. It doesn't exist.
Correct. In reality, it's a sleight of hand, if you will. They're in a supposed trust fund, and they're supposed to be in government bonds, but they're not really. The government is funding them through that number, and it's declining given the interest rate. They simply, it's an entry that they do.
It's a pyramid scheme, is what it is.
Is that
they're taking the money that's
some people
in
would
now.
Call that a
not a the money that's coming
not
in
a
now,
pyramid scheme, but a Ponzi scheme. Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
they're taking
indeed.
The money that's coming in now and paying out. And just because of the declining population and other things, it's going to run out because they won't have the money coming in.
Is this Medicare or Social Security you're talking about, or both?
That actually applies to both.
Yeah.
So, but to say that there's a lockbox and there's money there, there isn't. Politicians are screwing everybody.
It's a lockbox with a bunch of IOU notes in it, right?
Exactly right, Ron.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Wonderful.
By the way, in the coming weeks, we have several folks coming on, which Shay has arranged most assiduously. Now, by the mm-hmm. way, everyone's wondering, what about ubiquitous?
Ubiquitous.
Ubiquitous. Ubiquitous.
See?
Ubiquitous.
Thank you, Miriam. She says, existing or being everywhere at the same time, constantly encountered, widespread. In capitals. Ron, you hit a home run.
The internet.
The internet. And our podcast, actually, come to think of it, because you can listen anytime if you go to iTunes or our website and listen to shows you might have missed. So don't forget that New Retirement Radio is a podcast. And we do have a great, I'm calling it our Back to School series. We have a great lineup this fall. So next week we have Laverna Whitcup and Don McConnell from Ford Insurance that will be on.
Talking
Ford
about Medicare. Insurance.
Right,
and all the issues related to that, which you will want to know.
The week after that.
When it gets more complex. Sorry,
yes,
go ahead, Sharon.
The week after that, I have my friend Barb Mahan. She is a guest with me in a pre-record, and she's going to talk in detail about a topic we've never brought up before on the air, but is very important. What happens when you lose an adult child, and how does that change your retirement plans? The week after that, that will be a surprise. Then we have John Sluice. And then I have another
CPA.
CPA.
Mm-hmm. Talking about the tax packages, and we're going to try to gain some clarity about what that means and perspective, hopefully.
Correct.
About what the changes, the proposed changes might mean for you and me.
Dr. Sluice.
Dr. Sluice.
That's totally true.
Ooh.
I love it. Then I have another pre-record with my friend Vaughn, and he talks about his accidental career at GM that turned into 30 years. And after that, he retires and starts working for Mickey Mouse. So we're going to talk about his real retirement story. And then
I think you'll find that very interesting. Both he and his wife, incredibly engaging couple, just a lot of fun and very bright to boot. So that should be very enjoyable.
And then the week after that, we have Bob Simpson from the Social Security Office, and he's a fan favorite. He's a fan favorite. So that's October 28th.
Mr. Bob Simpson, what a great representative for Social Security, and to help you with all of your questions, with lots of answers as he goes along, but of course your phone calls too. So next, Heidi, deciding between a traditional or a Roth 401k, what should you do?
That's right. And this is a question that Dennis and I get quite often from clients. And a lot of our younger clients ask this question as well. Should I put my money in the traditional or a Roth option for my 401k? And, there's not one standard answer because it depends on your personal circumstances. And so you have to think through this and maybe ask yourself, and there's five things to go through in this article about what you should think about. One is, when do you want to pay taxes? So traditional 401k contributions are made with pre-tax dollars. It reduces your taxable income for the year. Now, the offset to that is you will be taxed on your distributions once you do retire, and that will be taxed as income.
Now, most have said, well, your taxes will be lower at retirement, and that is going to become passé, if you will, for most, because as we see taxes increase, most likely taxes will go up. Now, one note, too, before we go on, anyone can, as long as you have a 401k available, can do a Roth or a traditional 401k contribution. There is no income limit on doing a 401k or 403b Roth. No
Correct.
Income limits.
And on those individual IRAs, Roth or traditional, that you do on your own outside of an employer plan, there are income restrictions. And so this is one way, if you are in that situation, that you can concentrate on those contributions. So let's talk about the Roth contribution real quick. You will not get a deduction for the amount that you contribute. But you get to let that money grow tax-free. So any of the gains, interest that you earn on these Roth contributions over the years will not be taxed, because you're not taxed when you take the money out in retirement. So like Dennis said, if you expect to be in a lower tax bracket in retirement, you might want to look at the traditional. It may make more sense. But if you think you're going to be in a higher tax bracket, or the wild card of legislation, they could change the tax brackets on you or the tax rates on you in the future. And if you do not want to be worried about that, you may want to go with the Roth option. Another thing to consider is how old you are. I always am excited to talk to young people when they come into the office about the Roth IRA, because time is on their side. We've talked about compounding interest on this show over and over again, because it's amazing what it can do for your investment over time. You can really gain a lot in value over decades, and think about putting money into that Roth contribution and letting it just run for decades, and all the gain you make over that period of time, you're not taxed on when you take it out.
I don't miss any of the money in my 20s. You can't even remember, but when you're younger, you think you're going to miss it. But you kick yourself when you're older. Like, I don't...
You mean the money that you put away into
that
your...
Just don't miss it. So, and everyone tells you, you're not going to miss it if you build it into your plan. Mm-hmm. So, Heidi, you're so good with people when you sit with them and showing them what this can look like in the long term. So...
It's kind of like the automatic tax withdrawal. You don't miss it because you never have it. They just take it right out of your check.
You have control.
Yeah, but it's actually your own money, of course, that you're getting as you do this.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You don't miss it, but it's better, of course. Mm-hmm. Sorry, go ahead, Heidi.
Okay, so another thing to think about is where you live. I thought this was an interesting point. If you currently live in a state that collects both state and federal income tax, but when you are going to retire, you're planning to move to a state like Florida or Texas that doesn't have any state income tax, that could influence whether you pick that traditional or Roth option.
Do you think people are moving to Florida and Texas because of lower taxes? I hadn't heard that. That's interesting.
I think there's a rumor out there.
Ron just sits there. No comment.
Crickets.
Yep. Go ahead, Eddie. Sorry.
All right. So another thing to think about is how much can you afford to save? Now, for the Roth and traditional, the limit for 2021 is $19,500. But if you're over the age of 50, you can save an additional $6,500. So that just gives you a nice amount you can contribute, which is more than what you could do on your own outside of an employer plan. And thinking back to what Dennis mentioned at the beginning of this discussion, if you're outside those income limits, look to your employer plan.
It's incredible, because all those limitations are gone. And on top of that, you're also putting money in every month or every 2 weeks, so that you can actually take advantage of the higher risk in the stock market, if as long as you continue to invest through the cycle and it complies with your own risk tolerance level.
Exactly.
Right.
And one thing I like to point out to people as well, because they may not be aware, anything that your employer puts in on your behalf, if you have what we call a match, is going to be traditional type money. You're going to be taxed on that. So even if you're putting in all your contributions to the Roth option, you may end up with some traditional side money that you're going to be taxed on at the end. So you want to take that into consideration if you're trying to go for a certain percentage overall. And then my final point is you may want to use both. You may want to use both. Either you could do split your contribution. If you're putting in $400 a paycheck, you could put $200 to the Roth and $200 to the traditional. But I like to use my own personal example of you may want to change things over time. Like I have a child in college and I need to keep my income at a certain place in order to qualify for the financial aid.
Mm-hmm.
So putting money in the traditional helps keep my income lower.
Mm-hmm.
But when she's not in school, I will probably switch back to the Roth to build up those Roth money. So as things change, you should talk to your financial advisor or go in and talk to one if you don't have one to find out if there's some changes or pivot points that you could do on whether you're putting in traditional or Roth.
I can see you having that conversation. Now, honey, what year are you going to graduate? I just wondered so I can start my Roth 401k back up again.
The rules are out there, and there's nothing wrong with using the rules to your advantage.
Absolutely.
I agree.
That's called tax avoidance. That's the legal part of things. So this story is from Ed Slott's IRA advisor, which we get on a monthly basis, September edition. PLR, this is private letter ruling, just in case for those who want to know the number, 202-125-007, released by the IRS on June 25th of 21. Most people say that's a couple months away, a couple months ago. Is another in a long line of botched IRA trust beneficiary horror stories. In this situation, an IRA owner named a trust as IRA beneficiary, which is still relatively common. After her death, IRA assets were properly moved into a trust-owned inherited IRA. That kept it non-taxable. Here's where the problem comes in. The adult children of the original IRA owner, as trustees and trust beneficiaries, had total control of the assets. The children, however, wanted to trade stocks within the inherited IRA, but were informed by the custodian that the existing account could not accommodate their request. So, their error, here it comes, the trustee children decided to transfer substantially all of the inherited IRA assets to a non-qualified or non-IRA brokerage account owned by the trust. Bam.
Ruh-roh.
That's where the problem comes in. This action resulted in a taxable distribution at trust tax rates. Now, the problem with trust tax rates is that in 2021, trust reached the top 37% bracket after only $13,000 of income. Now, joint married filing jointly, they don't reach that level until $628,000 of taxable income. There's the difference.
Yes.
So this story goes on in some other detail, which we really don't have time to go into right now. But using a trust as IRA beneficiary will not save income tax. There is no income tax benefit that can be gained with a trust, which cannot be gained without a trust. Adding to the children's misery, there's the high trust tax rate. So there are reasons to name a trust. And lots of caveats to this, but for those who want to know more or have further questions, obviously you're welcome to call our office, and in some cases we can give you certain copies or copy information from this article from Ed Slott.
947-3992 or proutfinancialdesign.com.
Music. Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.